It's a blessing to be here at Ambassador Baptist College today. I was not going to say anything about an experience that we've had. Ambassador has always brought some excitement to our services, but nobody like Brother Scovel. Brother Alton literally put him to sleep on the front pew one time when they came. Of course, we were glad to know he was fine a few days later. But this school means a lot to us. You've been a tremendous blessing to us. We have graduates that have come and preached for us. We just finished a week of meetings a couple of weeks ago with Norman Stevens. So we had an exciting week. And we've had many of the faculty administration come preach as well. And we're excited about Ambassador Baptist College and what the Lord has in store for this school in the future. I would like you to turn with me this morning to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, and I want to read verses 1 through 22. The message this morning has kind of set the stage for what I would like to preach today. And I would like to preach to you this morning, witnessing in the powerful name of Jesus. If you want to see what happened in the early days of the church, you need to get in the book of Acts. See how God blessed those that were of little faith in the Gospels when the Holy Spirit came upon them in the book of Acts, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, then those who are of little faith find themselves standing before the Sanhedrin, boldly proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ. And so we'll look at Acts chapter 4. Let's read verses 1 through 22, and we'll have prayer, and we'll preach to you this morning. And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, and what a question to ask these men, by what power or by what name have you done this? And what he's talking about, the lame man that was healed over in chapter 3, they want to know, in whose name have you done this? Then Peter, look at this, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of who? Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, you talk about pointed preaching, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And listen to what the religious people did. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with who? Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. And we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name, the name of Jesus. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for all that you've done for us. I ask this morning, as we look into your word, that you would help each one of us to determine today that no matter how we've witnessed for you in the past, that we will boldly witness in the name of Jesus in the future. I pray that you would help us to see the importance of his name, the importance of letting this world, which does not like his name today, to know about Jesus. I pray that you give this preacher the boldness that I need to proclaim your word this morning, and may the Holy Spirit work in each of our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. What a wonderful world it would be if every time that you witness to someone about the gospel of Jesus Christ, if they were like the Methodists of this church, had open hearts and minds, and was gloriously saved. But the world that we minister in is not this way. In my ministry, more people have rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ than have received the gospel of Jesus Christ. Peter and the apostles, it would have been wonderful to have been in these days. In just a matter of a few weeks as they preached, and they started with 120 people at Pentecost. And then you see that there was 3,000 people saved. And then you see that there were people added to the church how often? Daily. And then you see when we get to this chapter, there's at least 5,000 men in the church. And that's not counting the women and the children in the church as well. Peter and the apostle saw thousands of people wonderfully saved in a few weeks. The messages that they preached and the works that they did were done in Jesus' name. Now, it is nothing new when you preach in Jesus' name to disturb religious people. Here in the early days of the church, the Sanhedrin is disturbed that they're preaching in Jesus' name. Why, they thought they had gotten rid of Jesus. They had crucified him, but now they're seeing the same miracles being performed by men. The lame man had laid at the gates of the temple for many years. He had been brought there and laid and receiving alms from folks. And nothing had changed him. Until one day, Peter and John came by and he looked at them and was expecting money from them. And Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I've got, I'll give it to you." And you know what he had? Jesus. And as you go out of here as a graduate, and as you are here as a student, there is something, if you're saved, that you have that is powerful, and that's the name of Jesus. This lame man was healed, and the Bible says that he leaped up and went in the temple with them. The Bible is even specific. It said that his ankles received strength. No physical therapy. He just got up and went in with them. So everybody knew who he was. And then you're going to find in this chapter, as he is standing before the Sanhedrin, guess who is there with him? This lame man. Now I pray this morning this message will help you witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that your spiritual life will be irrefutable proof of the saving power of Jesus' name. Now there's a few things I want you to see. First of all, you must witness and defend Jesus' name. You must witness and defend his name. Look back with me at verses 1-3, and I want you to see when you mention his name, several things that are going to happen. First of all, if you witness in Jesus' name, you're going to disturb some people. Look at verses 1-3. "And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was eventide." When you preach about Jesus, you're going to disturb some folks. See, these men's theology was upsetting the Sadducees' theology. They were preaching a resurrected Lord, and the Sadducees didn't like that. The resurrection of Jesus Christ did not fit into the Sadducees' theology, so they were upset when a lame man was healed in the name of somebody that they had crucified, but also who was resurrected, the Lord Jesus Christ. They were literally witnessing the power of a resurrected Lord, and they were disturbed by it. But you know, the Lord told them that this would happen. In Luke chapter 21 and verse 12, the Lord told His disciples, He says, "But before all these, they shall lay hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers," listen, "for My name's sake." Isn't it amazing? You can talk about Allah all you want to in America today. But you mention Jesus' name and it disturbs people. It's nothing new. The Lord said, told His disciples that would happen. And that's passed on along to us today, and it'll continue today. So when you witness in Jesus' name, you're going to disturb some people. Here's something else wonderful that I want you to see. When you witness in Jesus' name, some people's lives are going to be changed. Look at verse 4. "Howbeit, many of them which heard the word," what did they do? They believed. "And the number of the men was about 5,000. You young fellows that are going to be pastors, wouldn't that be something if you saw 5,000 people saved? You evangelists, wouldn't it be wonderful if you go out into the field and you have a meeting? You would be excited if 50 people got saved during a meeting. Missionaries going to a foreign field. Wouldn't it be wonderful to see 5,000 people converted over your lifetime? But this is just a matter of a few weeks. Many heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. They saw the miracle of the lame man being healed, and you know, those miracles in the book of Acts were signs to convince the folks that these apostles were of God. And here's an example of that. They heard the message, they saw the miracle, and they believed. And so when you witness, you're going to disturb some people. When you witness, some people are going to be saved. And when you witness in Jesus' name, you're going to provoke religious people. Now, religious people today act if Jesus does not exist, and they did the same thing in the book of Acts. Look at verses 5 through 7. "And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes and Annas and the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked them, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?'" Now, I don't believe that they were ignorant. They had seen this type of thing done before. But Jesus was the one that did it before. I'm sure they've heard that He also rose from the dead, whether they wanted to believe it or not. And now they are seeing again the very thing that they thought they had gotten rid of. "By what power or by what name have you done this?" What an opportunity to tell people about Jesus when they ask you such a question. You know, they had not committed a crime, but they're standing before a group of people to be judged. They had rescued a feeble man from birth defects, and he had been made well and whole in the name of Jesus. Now, don't develop an antagonistic attitude towards religious people. They need to be saved too. They need to hear Jesus' name too. Religious people need conviction in the name of Jesus because they're probably just as lost as the drunkard that might come to your church. In Acts chapter 4, verses 8 through 9. "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, 'Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel,'" very respectful, "'if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole.'" Oh, this is like saying sick 'em to the dog. It really is. Peter says, if you're asking us by whose name this man was made whole, we're going to be more than glad to tell you. And he's going to get really pointed. But there's something amazing here that I want you to catch. Peter, before the crucifixion of the Lord, ran from the crowd and denied Jesus to stay away from the crowd that he boldly stands in front of now. Amen. What's the difference? Filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Now he stands there emboldened by the Holy Spirit of God. And now not only is he going to bring conviction, allow the Holy Spirit of God to bring conviction upon them, but he's going to confront them of their deeds. Look at verses 10 through 11. Religious people need confrontation in the name of Jesus as well. Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, he's telling them whose name this man was healed in. And then he adds a stinging point of confrontation. Whom ye crucified. You crucified him. You slew him. Whom God raised from the dead. But God raised him from the dead. Now, the Sadducees didn't want to hear that. Even by him, the one you thought you got rid of, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. You wanted nothing to do with him. You tried to get him away. You set him aside. But he is still the head of the corner. This lame man was healed in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified. You tried to eliminate him, but he lives today. And you know what? Jesus still lives today. And you can preach in his name today. So Peter, through the power of the Holy Spirit, preached convictingly to them. He confronted them of their sin. And then religious people need conversion in the name of Jesus, and they need to understand that there's no other way to heaven but through Jesus Christ. It annoys me to watch national days of prayer and national ceremonies in our country now. They bring out folks in all sorts of outfits and hats representing religion. You'll have a Hindu, a Buddhist, then a Baptist, then a Methodist, and they bring everybody in. And in all of these services, I noticed that somebody's name is missing. And it's the name of Jesus Christ. As you graduate from ambassador one day, you go out of here and you take the name of Jesus Christ everywhere you go and never surrender that name. Verse 12. Get this verse if you don't get anything else today. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Oh, these folks that are interrogating him think a lot of the name of Moses and David and Abraham. But Peter says to them, there is no more important name. And as a matter of fact, there is no other name that you can be saved by except the name of Jesus Christ. And Peter is simply declaring what he learned when he was with the Lord. And the Lord Jesus said to the disciples, he said in John 14 and verse 6, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way. You know what the rest of it is? The truth and the life. And what's the final phrase? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Henry Morris said, as offensive as such a truth may be to non-Christians, we must continually make it clear in our witness to them, for without Christ, without Jesus, they are lost and bound for hell. So you need to witness and defend Jesus' name. Now, when you witness, here's something that I want you to get used to. Now, I remember when I was in college and I was going out, my eyes were glamorized. I thought the pastorate was going to be a wonderful experience, and it is. But I want you to understand, there will be opposition. And you will understand that quickly. when you get in the ministry. Here's some things about opposition I want you to understand. In verse 13. Your witness in Jesus' name is obvious if you have been with Jesus. Verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they weren't used to seeing this, especially in Peter. And perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled. Underline this in your Bible. Highlight it. Do something with this here. They took knowledge of them that they had been with who? With Jesus. Now, I remember all of my teachers from college, and some of my teachers in college taught me some valuable lessons. I went out of college and worked for 7 years under W.C. Bradley in Danville, Virginia, and he instilled some great things in me as I worked with him. You will be impressed by teachers that you have here at college, by the leaders of the college here, and you ought to be. And you ought to honor and you ought to reverence them. But I want you to understand there is no name more important to you than the name of Jesus. They took knowledge of them, not that they had been to a particular college, not that they went to a particular church, but they had been with Jesus. Now, it's going to become obvious to people that you spend time with whether you've been with Jesus or not. Well, he's not here. Well, he sure left us a lot about himself in his word. It will become obvious to folks whether you've been with Jesus or not. And it will become obvious if you haven't been with Jesus. For his name's sake, spend time in his book. I want you to see also your witness in Jesus' name. It will be obvious if you've been with Jesus. And then if you will go out and you'll let the Lord build a work, then it will be undeniable that it was done in Jesus' name. Verses 14 through 16, and beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do with these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them that is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. And I love it when religious people say this. We cannot deny it. Nothing can be said against a person truthfully who has been changed by the name of Jesus. The obvious change in this man's life could not be denied. Everybody knew what he was before he heard about Jesus, and everybody saw what he was after he heard about Jesus. Now, your witness in Jesus' name is obvious. Your work in Jesus' name is undeniable. And your words in Jesus' name are a threat to organized religion. Don't be surprised when somebody is upset with something you've said. Verses 17 through 18. I want you to see what religious folks do when they can't deny the power of Jesus Christ. They start threatening you. Now, you're going to have some pastors and religious leaders come to you sometime. And they're going to say to you, if you're going to associate with these people, then you can't associate with me. If you're going to persist in using that Bible, then you can't associate with me. You know, I've told folks like that, and then they'll say, you've got to decide what you're going to do. I've told folks like that, I don't have anything to decide. You've decided it for me. There are going to be threats. Verse 17 through 8, but that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Now, this is bringing them into direct conflict what the Lord told them right before he ascended back up into heaven. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, here's what he said. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Religious threats did not stop these bold witnesses. How do you know, preacher? Well, if you go over to Acts chapter 5, verses 27 through 28, they're brought in before the same crowd again. Do you know why? Because they're still preaching in the name of Jesus. Look what it says. And when they brought them, They set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, "Did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name?" And listen to what the apostles had done. I want you to listen to what they did. "And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. When you graduate from here, wherever you go, fill that community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And while you're here, fill this community with the gospel of Jesus Christ." Oh, you're going to get all sorts of threats. "We'll make up some pamphlets and put some tracts in it and just canvass communities in our neighborhood from time to time." And about a year or so ago, we had gone over and, you know, we always tend to go to the trailer parks, and there's nothing wrong with that. We go into rural communities and all, but we decided this time we were going downtown and one of the larger communities and more affluent communities. Pass out the gospel and things about our church. Why, we never had gotten the most nasty message was on our voicemail when we got back to church that day, where a lady really was cursing us out for just leaving a little packet and a gospel tract on her door. Sometimes when you preach, you're going to get threatened. In the middle of preaching, I've had them stand up and yell, "You're a liar," and run out the door. Somebody I'd never seen before that occasion and have never seen afterwards. And I know who sent them. Dr. Comfort was preaching for us one time, and a man's daughter came forward and got saved. And the father was so infuriated, he called me that evening and cursed me out because of the message that Dr. Comfort had preached that evening. There'll be threats. The drunks will decide to come in during your church service. You just keep on preaching the name of Jesus. Now, I want to encourage you, just be faithful to Jesus' name. A few more things and we're done. These folks are saying, "Don't you preach in His name anymore." But Peter said in verse 19, "But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye." We have a higher authority than any religious denomination or any religious organization that would cause you to suppress the name of Jesus. Peter declared to the Sanhedrin that he had a higher authority to obey. The next thing, Peter says in verse 20, "We cannot but speak the things which we've seen and heard." Now think with me real quick, what has he seen and heard? He walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. Can you imagine seeing Jesus raise the dead? Seeing Jesus heal the sick? Hear the teaching that Jesus gives during all of that time. And then you see the one that you admire crucified. You forget that he said he was going to be raised on the third day. And then when somebody tells you he's raised from the dead, you're suspicious of it and you really don't believe it till you see it yourself. And then after the resurrection, they get to fellowship with the Lord, and the Lord gives them some more instruction after the resurrection. And they walk and they talk with the Lord after the resurrection. And one day they gather on the hillside, and the Lord's giving them some final instructions. And while He's talking to them and giving them final instructions, can you imagine seeing Him lift up off of the ground and go up into the clouds and into the sky? And Peter says, "We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and we have heard." When you've really been with Jesus and you've really witnessed what Jesus has done, nobody can stop you from witnessing in His name. Amen. Witnessing new life in Jesus' name. I want you to see the glory of this. Look at verse 21. "So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people." Peter and John were interested in pleasing God. The religious people were interested in satisfying people. "For all men glorified God for that which was done." Now think with me through this. If you go back in the early part, right before Pentecost, there's 120 people that gathered that's going to form the nucleus of the church when the Holy Spirit comes. 3,000 people are saved at Pentecost. Then people are being saved daily after that. And then some people speculate that another 5,000 men were saved. Now, if you start doing the math, the church is getting on up about 10,000 people if you add some women and some children that have been saved in there as well. In a matter of a few weeks, and these religious people, as they see the crowd start following Jesus, who are they not going to be following any longer? The glory of the church being born and growing. And then I want you to see the glorious witness of one individual. We've been talking about Jesus' name, but Jesus is glorified because of one individual. Verse 22. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. Now I want you to see how Jesus changed a man. Here was a lame man that laid outside of the temple. And people just cast their spare change at him for years. Peter and John come by with the name of Jesus. And he's miraculously healed in the name of Jesus. And now he's standing with Peter and John in defense of the name of Jesus. He was a man that was begging. But now is an undeniable witness of the power of Jesus' name. He asked for alms, but in Jesus' name, he got strong ankles to stand with him. And you find him in Acts chapter 3 and Acts chapter 4, standing in the name of Jesus in defense of Jesus' name. He was an ignored man for many years. People just walked by him, kind of like we do people every week. They just walked by him. They were going to prayer. They were being religious when they walked by him. Here was an ignored man for many years. But now because of Jesus' name, the religious crowds can't ignore him. They said, we can't deny what's happened here. And because of Jesus working this miracle in this man's life, all of Jerusalem is filled with this doctrine. He was a helpless man. But now he's a healed man standing with the disciples before the Sanhedrin. You know, the power of Jesus' name can change many people. I would be unwise to assume that everybody here is saved today. If your family visiting a student here and you're unsaved, you can be saved in Jesus' name today. You might be a student here that you've put all the right words on your application and need to be saved. Just last fall, we had this glowing couple come into our church, this young man and young lady. Gave a glowing testimony of salvation, the young fellow did. His wife did as well. We gave them our doctrinal statement. Do you agree with everything on our doctrinal statement? Oh yes, I agree with everything on the doctrinal statement. Went through all the procedures. 2 weeks later, Brother Mike Pelletier came and preached a revival service. And on Friday night, before the invitation could even be started, here come this young man down the aisle. And he said, Pastor Tim, I'm sorry for lying to you. I need to be saved today. Stunned? Yes, I was. But I learned my lesson a few years before, when I made one of the dumbest statements I've ever made in my life. One of my deacons came down the aisle and met me at the altar and said, Pastor Tim, I've been acting and fooling people all of my life. I need to be saved. And I said to my deacon, Edgar, you know you're saved. And Edgar said to me, no, Pastor Tim, I know I'm not saved. Oh, he got wonderfully saved. Down in Georgia now, serving the Lord down there. And tells us often when he calls back to check up, he thanks us that he was saved here. Oh, it's wonderful to see people changed in Jesus' name. Yeah. Other Wednesday night after church, I walked in and opened the door to my office after the message, and there was an envelope with Pastor Tim on it. Now, you'll not understand this unless you've been a pastor. When there are envelopes on the floor with your name on it after a church service, those of you who are pastored, are you not a little suspicious? So I set it on my desk and did a few other things and didn't open it. And then finally, right before I had to leave, I thought I'd better check that out before I go home.
And I opened it up. And when I opened it up, I said, "Dear Pastor Tim, thank you for telling me about Jesus and showing me how I could be saved. Thank you for baptizing me, and thank you for letting me be a part of this church." From Tyler Heath, 7 years old, I believe. I've got a couple of important papers on my wall where I went to school, and a plaque for celebrating 20 years last year of being at New Testament Baptist Church. And now in between all those things is a piece of paper. So I won't forget what it's all about. Amen. Taking Jesus' name to folks. Heads bowed for just a moment. I'm just curious this morning. Is there anybody here today, just by an uplifted hand, that would say, "I believe I need to be a more bold and effective witness in Jesus' name"? Will you raise your hand this morning? Heavenly Father, you've seen the hands of those that want to be a more effective and more bold witness for you. I pray that they would determine that and settle that today. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your name. And thank you, Lord, for those that have gone before us and have been an example for us so that we can serve you faithfully too. I pray that you would bless this meetings this week, that we might leave at the end of the week being bold witnesses for you. In Jesus' name, amen.